The following presentation is brought to you by The Realm Network.
We had the 100th, the centennial, and now we are bringing it out into the new year 2021. And you know what I've decided? I've decided that rather than bitch and complain, that I'm just going to bring you hot chicks all the time. As much as I love sports entertainment, as much as I love bringing you all the wrestlers, which I still will, I got to tell you, and I'm just, this is a shoot. It is freaking hard to get these guys to show up, okay? I don't know if they're drunk or wasted or whatever the night before, but they don't respond. And if you do see a wrestler on Goldie's Closet, know they are one of the best, one of the salt of the earth human beings on the planet that decided to honor their responsibility and their commitment to me, to Goldie's Closet, to Vinnie Rue, to the Realm Network. So for a stretch, because I know they'll freaking show up, I am going to bring on the hottest, most talented, most badassery chicks, divas, boss babes possible. So without further ado, this is one that I have known for quite some time who is just blowing up and doing amazing and incredible things, and she's not a bitch. So therefore, we bring her on, we roll out the red carpet. A warm Realm Network and brand family, welcome. Please put your hands together for a good friend, a dear colleague, and an incredible artist, Miss Sarah Ross. And I just have been watching things that you have been doing, and again, if you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but are you still on average shows? Because I look
am.
Okay,
I
good.
Am. Yes. What good. Is it? Almost 8 years going strong now,
and that's like right when I met you, isn't it?
Exactly. You and I. It was my first photo shoot that I did in Nashville, and I was actually talking to about it recently.
Forrest.
It was one of my favorite things because you behind the camera is amazing because you just give me, like, no, you give me life. You give me energy. You do.
I wish we could do it again now that I've had more experience. You've grown up and it was fun to do it, but like I was looking through and I saw like all of these, and I'll just promote right now to everybody, got to check out these hot bathtub pics.
Yes.
You know what? You need to come on my other little show called Tub Talk, and it's all about dating, and it's helping guys and the bros especially know how to operate out there. We got a lot of wonderful people listening right now. I know we've got a lot of people that are divorced. I'm just going to call you out. I won't say who you are, but you know, you're commenting on different articles. You know who you are. You know, just because you are a divorcee or shit hit the fan doesn't mean that you are not. I know you're going to find love because you're reaching out and you're asking questions. And I think it's so important for everybody to know, especially post Valentine's Day, that they are worthy of being loved. So I would love to get you on there as well. But you know, I see all these hot, beautiful pictures, and then I know you lost some weight, and I know how that happened, and you know, but you look, regardless of whatever shit hits the fan, you look amazing and you're just still going. And that's probably like one of the key things that's important to talk about on this whole podcast is consistency and just how do you keep going through all of this stuff? Because what are you doing now? Music full time? Do you have a side gimmick? Like what's happening with you?
So, you know, back when I met you, that was the beginning, and I've worked around all those amazing guys, Colt Ford, you know, Bubba Spar, everybody, the Lax. And I was so welcomed there, which was amazing. So in that, you know, I just kind of got thrown into all of it. And I originally was just a country artist, but I love rap music. So it made sense to put country and rap together.
Really?
Yes. I loved, like, I was all about Gretchen Wilson, Miranda Lambert, you know, like the badassery vibes kind of thing. But I loved rap music. So I put them together. And then after a while, it was just, it kind of all catches up to you being on the road. I started on the road when I was 17, just constantly going. And I think I just needed a minute to kind of regroup and bring back everything I needed. And anxiety is a bitch, man. Like anxiety.
People don't talk about it. They don't talk about mental health. They don't talk about depression. And I know so many people and so many really, really young people, like 19, 20, 21, that have no way to navigate through the fucking anxiety that's going on right now.
Right.
Like, it's just, even for me, and I consider myself resilient and a badass, and mentally I'm just second guessing things all the time. And I'm not used to that.
No, even I think subconscious anxiety, even when we don't realize it, it's there. And we're always comparing ourselves to, sorry, the phone's ringing.
That's okay. It happens in life.
We're always comparing ourselves to other people, you know, especially online. And people post, everyone says it, but they post the best of themselves on social media most of the time. And so it's hard to, you know, behind a smile in a picture, sometimes that's not really what you're feeling in that moment. So it took me a while to go through and get back in the zone again and be like, okay, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to go full force. So I just recorded a new music video. When was it? Last week, for a new song that's called Last One. I'm so excited about it. It's like champion vibes type shit. And I got some of my pro athlete friends to be involved in this video, and some of my best friends. So I'm super excited about that. But
What's it about? Let's talk about that. Or can you not talk about it yet?
Yeah, I can. This is going to be the first time, so this is good. So I did record the video last week. I'm excited about it. And
where did you record it?
A couple different places. So it did around Nashville, you know, with all the COVID stuff going on. I had a big plan, but bullshit. So couldn't do it. So I had to have, you know, as few people as possible. So we did some at the record label at Average Joe's, kind of outside a bit. And then we actually went over to one of my producers, BJ Kao's house, who I've known, you probably know them too at some point, I'm sure.
Yep.
Over there, and got some cool studio stuff there, some cool outside shots. And then I got the help of a bunch of my friends, athletes, artists, even my cousins are surfers. So I'm getting a bunch of different people some cell phone footage, and we're kind of clipping that all together with some performance shots of me. My idea for the song, it's called Last One, and I've been writing so much recently, and I just felt like I needed something that was empowering, like champion vibes. You know, the chorus is pretty much, this is the moment, the main attraction, my team on my back, we gonna run it right past them, lights, camera, action, and then it's like, till I'm gone, till my fucking last one. So it's just doing everything you can possible to be the best you can be in a position where you are. I don't like all the girl. I can't do all the girl drama. That ain't my shit. You know what I mean? I don't care. I ain't had problems for 7 years with any of these men. I ain't gonna have any problems now. You know what I mean? That's just not my thing. So I'm excited for this to come out. I feel like it'll be a new reintro of Sarah Ross, really. So, and I'm planning on popping out new music every month. So.
So you are going to release this, and then are you at all, like, I mean, you're on a major label, which is a big deal. Good for you. Jealous.
Just thank you.
No, I mean, I'm happy. I'm happy for you. I wouldn't freaking have you on. Are you talking about any touring at all? Anything? I mean, because we're starting to, like, at least get some shows. We kind of have to be quiet about them, or we don't want to rock the boat and like get the venues in trouble. But is there anything like at least that you have that you're looking forward to, or that you know, like, well, we're just kind of waiting. I wish they freaking quit shutting everything down.
I know. God. It ain't obviously making anything better. So
it's not. And I saw some people in New Zealand, like there's like 3 cases of COVID and they're shutting everything down. I mean, just like, guys, like,
I know.
Nobody died of the flu in 2020. Nobody died of pneumonia.
I know, right?
Of all things to just shut down. Like, it's a story that we were at a venue during the COVID, and we had to keep it really low key. Couldn't take any pictures. We didn't want to get them in trouble or the agency in trouble. And I remember there was a group of Indian men that were there, and I was just joking around. I'm a big group, a very large group. And I was like, so what do you guys do? Are you like in, you know, tech, or, you know, I was making a generalization and a stereotype. And he was like, yes, I do computer work. And I was like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, thanks for hanging out with us tonight. And then they left and they came back And one of the other guys came up and I just said, we're just having such a great time with you. You're so talented. Like, must be great to be so, you know, savvy on the computer. He's like, I am not a technician. I am a doctor.
And I was like, I love it.
We are doctors. We are brain surgeons. And I was like, oh, shit, you're brain surgeons. Yeah, that's cool. Okay.
You're still smart.
Yeah. And then I started to feel like literally sitting there, Sarah, like at the edge of the stage on my break, like, what the fuck am I doing in the world when there's like a group of 20 doctors sitting here and like, and I just was thinking, oh, here's me like trying to get into any venue right now that I could. And then I stopped and I thought, these guys are so freaking stressed at their job that they need us to just numb out. Obviously they can't be like using drugs or drunk all the time. Like they need a healthy outlet to let out some steam and stress. And I was like, you know, entertainers are important and we do matter. And it's like, then why shut us down? Like, it's not, oh my God, I'm so done.
A lot of it should be people's choice. If you want to, you do. If you don't, you don't, you know. But I know, so when it first started, I was playing a couple shows and it was pretty much the same thing, you know, very low key, some bars, and I had a full, set of shows ready to go, you know. And then all of a sudden, this one was going to be moved to this day. And
yes.
Then moved to this day. And then it's like, oh, never mind. You ain't playing a show. So since then, I probably played, my last show I played was up in Maine. And I mean, it was a giant mud bog outside. There were thousands of people there.
Good, good.
Amazing.
Good.
So I had the best time. But now I've played a couple things online. And there are things in the works, you know, that we're talking about, but nothing on it right now. And that's what's so hard because it's like, okay, what do we do? Like our people, you know, what we do, our people are out there. We want to travel and see. And
I miss so many people, don't you? Like, and I mean, you see them once or twice a year and it's like, there's something so magical about being an artist and being able to just go all of these places and know like, oh, I'm going to Maine and I'm going to Vermont and I'm going to Florida and I'm going to see like these beautiful people that are out there. And I get the streaming stuff and it's cool, but it's not the same as going in
the
person.
The energy is just, you know.
It's the other, what did you say?
The energy.
Oh, God.
You know, you can't, it's like even when I do some lives sometimes and, you know, you're talking to people, commenting back, it's still not the same thing. You can't feel what they're talking about. You can't really explore it. And that's where we get our energy from. We feed off of them as much as they feed off of us. So I'm sick of this shit right now.
Yeah. I am watching the wrestling. Like it's just like, cause there's a lot of people that are listening and watching. And we thank you for everybody tuning in today on the Realm Network and on Russo's brand. Thank you so much. Thanks to our friends, patrons. And I know that you all are frustrated with watching every bit of wrestling going on right now. And a lot of the sports stuff is just like, it's a fucking joke. It's just, and thank you all for hanging in there with us and still supporting and being there. As much as I get in arguments with people and my dad saying, oh, it's going to be like, I don't think it is. I think people are just going to get tired of being sick and tired. And it probably won't go back to it exactly the same way, but I would not hope. I would expect that it would go back to if it's your choice. Like, first off, if you are going to chemotherapy treatments and radiation treatments, like, you shouldn't be around people anyway, whether there's a COVID or not. Like, you should be handling your business, tending to your garden and being clean. Secondly, all you dirty bitches out there, if you all would just wash your face and your hands and your ass, we probably wouldn't even have had a COVID.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and then the third thing is for all you conspiracy theorists out there, was there even a COVID? I know people that did get sick and this and that. And I also know that every COVID case was, what was it, between $15,000 and $35,000 a case was awarded to the hospital. I don't know. I'm not the authority. I would like it to get to a point where if you really feel that you're at risk, then do the precautions. And if I'm coming over to your house or doing a photo shoot with you and you say ahead of time, you know what? I have a pre-existing condition or I have a phobia or I'm concerned or I'm worried. Like, I will pay you your money for your photo shoot. I will book this job with you, but it would mean a lot to me if you would wear a mask. Well, I don't really want to wear one during a photo shoot, but if that's what your comfort level is and I'm signing up for the gig and the deal and I want to make my money, I'll wear a freaking mask or I'll keep my distance from you. Or it's about communication, you know, if you really are that concerned. And then I have friends family members who are sick, going to radiation and chemotherapy, who are still volunteering at soup kitchens 4 times a week. And I'm just like, WTF. Like, yeah, what are you doing? Well, I signed up for it. I'm like, well, maybe you should not go when, you know, that's a lot of people to be around, but they're still going. So
people don't understand. I mean, like, I've been talking to you and I'm thankful that you worked with me on this. I know we were going to do this. And,
totally.
Then, you know, being here with my grandmother, it's, she just recently got her, part of her lung removed. She had lung cancer and it's, you know, it's awful. So it's hard, but I mean, I feel like I was always a germ freak, really. So knock on wood, I have not been sick since last October. Not one thing, not a cough, not a sneeze, not one thing. And you know, I'm careful, but I'm always careful. I've always bleached all my shit anyway. I like my stuff clean. So if people just keep doing this, nothing's going to change. I want to get back to playing music. I want to get back on the road. I want to see our friends, you know, and all this energy, no one being around each other.
Yeah. No, it's jacked.
The depression levels, the anxiety levels, everything is just.
When did you know that you wanted to be a singer? How'd that all transpire? Like, I mean, you were really young when you got signed. I was very young when I got my first record deal. Like, how did it all happen? Was it right place, right time for the people that want to get into things that seem to be untouchable? Like, how did it happen for you? I don't know your story.
Right. So with me, I originally wanted to follow in my mom's footsteps and be a nurse.
Oh, close. And,
right. Would never want to do that now. Bless them, because I don't know how they get it. I couldn't.
I don't either.
No. And then I wanted to be a pilot, which I still would love to be a pilot, just to be able to fly planes. And then I started singing probably really when I was 13, but I never did anything about it. You know, my parents were always just like, oh, you sound good. I'm like, I ain't singing in front of nobody. Get the hell out of here. I ain't doing it. And then when I turned 16, my mom asked if I wanted voice lessons for my birthday. So I took voice lessons, and she had to pretty much force me to do it.
I love that. This is what a great gift.
I know, right? So I got that. And I have to give it to my vocal coach. His name's Sal Dupree. I want to say he's in his 80s now, 82 maybe, still amazing, going strong, still training amazing young artists in New Jersey, actually. And so after that, he got me into competitions, and I did some radio competitions around here. I started singing at different bars, just getting paid under the table.
Really. Around here, you mean? Oh, you started singing in
New Jersey. So I'm from South Jersey. Yeah. So I was just playing at little bars around South Jersey, getting paid under the table. When all my friends were working at the grocery store, I was singing in the bars, you know? So I was so lucky to have that. It was amazing. And then my mom asked me if I wanted to do American Idol, and I did it. And it was the scariest shit I've ever done in my life.
Really? I didn't know this.
Yes. I stood in front of, it was Keith Urban, Nicki Minaj, Mariah Carey, and Randy Jackson. And I thought I needed a diaper because, like, you know, at that point I only performed in a bar, and I'm like, now I'm going to stand in front of 4 people that I've listened to their music for how long now, you know? And so I ended up going. I ended up getting to Hollywood. I sang a Carrie Underwood song, which it's not an excuse. I was sick as shit. It was terrible. But then I rapped. I sang Carrie Underwood song. I think it's terrible. I sang that, and then I rapped a Nicki Minaj song to Nicki Minaj. And I rapped Super Bass to her. And it was insane. So I got a ticket and got to Hollywood. And after that, I left. I didn't make it through Hollywood week. It was terrible. After that, I got a call from Average Joe's at school. I was a senior in high school.
Because they saw your audition.
Sorry, back up.
You did the audition.
Yes, did the audition. That was televised. I got 4 yeses, made it to Hollywood.
Do we have footage of this somewhere?
Should be on YouTube and all. Should be there still. And then they actually also played my audition on the Ellen show with Nicki Minaj. I was like,
I was just going to say, like, you did the Nicki Minaj song knowing she was a judge. So you're like, I'm going to go with my balls out. Like,
you know, they asked me in there because I thought I was just going to sing this Carrie Underwood song. And then So, you know, there's a million people in this room, really. They make you think it's four judges and that's it. You know, there's 45, 50 other people in there, a million cameras in your face. It's crazy. So Nigel Lithgow was the producer of the show at the time, I want to say, the British man.
Yeah.
And he ran up to Randy in the middle of the audition and whispered something in his ear. And Randy said to me, "I heard you do Nicki Minaj." And I have a Nicki Minaj, I had a Nicki Minaj and Drake cover song on my YouTube. So I guess they knew I was in this contest and they knew I did Nicki Minaj. So when I was in there, they asked me if I could do a Nicki Minaj song.
Oh, wait a second. So you didn't even come prepared for that? Like, no, you didn't have that instrumental?
That was not, no, nothing of that was prepared. I was ready to sing country songs. Because that's what I just was going to do. And rapping for me was just fun at that point in my life, you know.
So you were caught off guard.
Oh, extremely.
Like legit? Because that sounds like a work to me. That's got to be.
Exactly. 100%. Because on the audition, you don't see that, you know. But so I sing it. He runs up to Randy, whispers in his ear. He says, I heard you do Nicki Minaj. And I was like, okay, I can. So, I mean, I know all Nicki Minaj songs, so it was fine for me to just do it. But I switched up some words in there and did my little, you know, freestyle thing, and they loved it. It was ridiculous.
What did she do?
She cried at the end. She cried. She was like, you got to watch it. It was, they had an argument. It was like a big thing. It was ridiculous. Yeah, but it was the most, I don't know, the most surreal moment of my life ever and most humbling moment of my life too, because then I realized after everyone in the world is going to see my audition. And so the night the audition aired on TV, I actually had all my friends over from school because I was a senior in high school at the time. So nice. I had my friends over. It was insane. And I was in the bathroom throwing up before because I was so scared. I was so nervous. I was throwing up in the bathroom. I'm like, you know, and when it came on, it was great. I was happy. I was crying. Everyone, my phone stopped working. My phone just started going,
glitching,
turned off. So then after that, everything calmed down. And about a week or so later, I was in gym class in high school.
Always gym class.
And you know, I had my phone in my pocket, not supposed to, but I did. So had my phone in my pocket and starts ringing. And I was friends with the radio guy up in Philly, the PD at the radio station, because I did the audition.
For those of you listening, a PD is a program director. Keep going.
Thank you. So up, I talked to him. He was calling me and I was like, why is he calling me? And so I answered and he said, "Hey, I have Colt Ford and Shannon Houchins from Average Joe's Entertainment. And they saw that we were connected through this competition and they got in touch with him to get in touch with me." So I asked my gym teacher, I was like, "I have to go make a like important phone call right now, you know?" So I did talk to Shannon and a week later I flew to Nashville for the record label, met with them the first day. They put me in the studio and they said, by myself, alone, they shoved me in there and they said, write a verse to, it was a Lax song called Relax. So they said, write a verse to this song. And I did. And they loved it. And the next day they asked me if I wanted a record deal. And that was almost 8 years ago now.
That's just insane.
Yeah. It was a long ride. It was, I feel like a lot of it was just a blur, you know, and it kind of just, it goes, but I've had so many great experiences that I would not change. And I'm finally ready with this new music and new song to expand. And I think I'm finally going to be able to show my true personality.
I love that. And here's me like asking crazy questions.
Yeah.
Was your gym teacher cool with like you?
So cool.
Did they give you any crap or like were
she
they?
She was actually my mom's gym teacher in high school.
Oh, shit. That's so cool.
She was just like, whatever, you know. And they knew at that time because the new generation and everybody came to school and all that stuff. So they had a rally at school. It was so awesome. So they were okay with it.
Did you move? Now, I don't, I mean, you live in Nashville.
Mm-hmm, yes.
When did you move? So you get this record deal, like, and you're how old?
I went there for the first time when I was 17, and then I actually moved there when I turned 18.
So I got you when you were still probably 18, 19 years old. Oh, shit.
Now I'm 26.
Wow. God, isn't that crazy?
No, I feel like a different person.
So they start you out, like, which is really cool, because the label that I was on had a bunch of dipshits on it, like, that I wouldn't want to cross-pollinate with, God forbid, even be in the same room with.
Save me.
They start out cross-promoting you with everybody.
Right.
You start to record, you do your videos, you tour, and then has it been that way for 8 years? Or even before the pandemic, like, did things slow down? Did they change? Did they look different ways? Did you take personal time off? You can get into that as much as you want. I don't care. It's all good.
For sure. I think there was a time where, you know, I was going strong since I was 18 years old for about 3 years, touring constantly, 3 shows a week, 4 shows a week, that kind of thing.
Oh, God. Really?
Oh, yeah. It was.
With who? Like on cult stuff or like what?
I was opening for people. I was playing mud bogs. I was playing random bars. I was playing. I mean, some shows would have 10 people. Some shows would have 400 people. Some show, you know what I mean? So constantly different. I had great booking agents.
Was that through Average Shows or you had?
I had booking agents at the time, which was crazy too, all in itself. We'll get into that one on the other podcast, maybe. Yeah. So that was an interesting time, but I was playing constantly. I got to a point. In all honesty, I haven't really talked about it much. I never. Which again, people being more open about mental health and everything kind of just came to a head. And I was very anxious. I wasn't sleeping well. I wasn't eating well. I just wasn't having the best time mentally up here. And I started feeling it all over. And so I kind of...
Really? Is that what that was all about? Was just the stress?
It was really, really bad stress.
Who did you have to talk to about all that stuff? Your family? Or you didn't want to say anything?
I kind of did. I kind of pushed it off for a while and just... Because I thought I was like, oh, maybe I'm just like this, you know, maybe I'm just like ADD or whatever, you know, some crazy, I can't stop. You know, my brain couldn't stop going. It was constant thought, not terrible thoughts or anything like that, you know, just constant, oh my gosh, did I do this? Oh my God, I have to do that. Oh God, I didn't do this yesterday. And I just needed a break, you know, I needed a minute to just take it easy. So I just didn't really release any music for a while, for about almost 2 years. I didn't release any music. I was writing a lot for other people. I was writing a lot just to write. I was play a show here and there, you know, that kind of stuff. I'd keep up online. I ended up going to a therapist, which was one of the best things I've ever done.
Always. People never realize that.
Yep. Shout out to Betty.
Shout out to Betty, who went to school and trained in something that people that think that they can just fix stuff on their own or talk to a friend. These are professional people that are out there that are trained in listening for keywords and reading your body language and listening to you to offer some advice and comfort and a sounding board for you so that you don't feel like you're going nuts. Like, this is so important. I just can't tell
people. Not biased. You could say anything you want and they have to listen to you.
Yeah, good job.
Yeah. And knowing what was great about her was she was very, very open with her story growing up. Oh, sorry, this is something just popped up on the computer. I want to make sure it's not ruining this.
Go ahead. Take your time.
It popped up. But she was great because she was so open about her story. And I mean, some people have crazy stories, and her story, I could not imagine going through what she went through in her life. So just knowing that she's been there and way worse than anything I was dealing with at the time was so helpful to me to just
how she got through it and that she's okay. And now she's helping other people.
Yes.
Huge.
I'm like, I mean, people are so, sometimes you need to take meds to get where you, you know, you got to figure it out and it just is what it is. And I ain't ashamed of it, you know?
Nope. Everybody's got to do what they've got to do. Like we talked about earlier, if you feel threatened by something, stay home or keep your distance or, and it's important to not judge people if they need medication or if they don't, or if they need this or they need that. Like people need to do, as long as it's like legal or something, they're not like hurting people or, you know, it's important to let people do their thing and to not cast judgment and to be somebody to say, what can I do to help? How can I help you? What is there? What can I do?
Right. And you know, you realize I've never really, maybe this will be a start of me, you know, talking about it more. And I think, which is great. No, it's not a secret that I lost a bunch of weight. You know,
I saw you at one of the, I think it was, what the hell is that every year that the CMA fest?
Yes. Yep. Yep.
And I was jealous. I was like, what's this bitch doing?
I know. Oh,
here's fatty over here trying to like drop some.
You're gorgeous.
Well, no, I mean, I go up and down, you know, so when I saw you. Here, this is a good point. When I saw you, I was like, holy shit, look at her. Wow. Right. She looks really great. And then here you're like, you quietly said, I got sick. And then I was concerned because I know like that could have been bulimia or it could have been anorexia or you could have had colitis or Crohn's like my mom or kidney failure or, you know, and then I was super concerned for you. At first, I was like jealous because that's what women do. Jealous of other women.
Right.
And then the non-bitchery comes through and I was concerned for you. And I hope that you're doing better. That was years ago. I saw you.
Right. Yeah. And I still, and that was what was really hard too, you know, because a lot of people say, you know, oh, they dreamed to be this size or look like this. And I love that I can wear the clothes I want to wear. I love that. But this isn't always the, you know, I don't feel more comfortable this way. I look at other women. I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, I wish I had that weight here. I wish I had that there. And I went through things. People were saying, oh, are you bulimic? Oh, are you this? And even I've had doctors that I've gone to that have asked me that. And it's so hard unless you're, you know, people with anxiety. My mom stress eats. I don't eat when I'm stressed. If I am anxious and like that, I do not want to touch food.
And I hear that and I wish I had that problem. Pig, like I call my alter ego is Pig. She goes around like literally finding any morsel of old ass food on some dried up Tootsie Roll in the corner with cat hair on it from 10 years ago when I moved in. And I'm like, I better wash that off and eat it. We all have what we don't want, or the grass is greener, but I understand what you're saying, and that is difficult.
Right. So it's been a long road to, I feel healthy again now, you know.
Good.
I'm not the same weight I used to be, but I've always been a thin, like I'm 5'7", I'm lanky, you know, I've always kind of had the thin body. I stopped eating fast food completely, and I will tell you, my stomach issues, like any stomach problems I had, completely disappeared.
Yeah, bros, if you're listening at her, let's take some advice because
anyone that's got the bad shits and the nasty guts out there, stop the fast food. I'm telling you, I feel like a new person.
And oh my God.
That's the reason that I'm not putting the same weight on because I'm not eating as bad as I am. I'm eating home cooked meals most of the time. I mean, we're home. I got nothing else to do besides cook for myself or something, you know.
How long are you going to be in New Jersey?
Not really sure yet. The plan is to kind of wait and see because I'm helping with my grandmother.
So, I know.
Right. My parents working on and off and we all live next door to each other here.
Okay.
So my mom's house, my aunt and uncle's house, and then my grandparents' house here.
That's
and we
awesome, have, Sarah.
We have a farm back here. It's amazing. So,
and your situation in Nashville is contained or you're okay or everything's good?
Yeah, I have a place there and I love it. I live right outside of town in a nice little cute little house in a cute little neighborhood.
Good.
And yeah, it's good. So I'm finally back on a roll. I've been in the studio constantly. So ready for this new song to come out. And apparently I asked before this for a release date. They can't give me one yet, but they said about a month.
Okay.
So about a month. That's what I'm
waiting. Who shot it? Did Potsy shoot it and that whole clan and new people?
No, actually. There's a guy, I met him at the last music video I did, the Chop and Axe with a girl, Shelby Kay, who's also on the label now. She's awesome. And I met him at the video shoot. And then he ended up working for the label. He started working for the label about 3 weeks ago. So it's a guy named Julian. He's also a musician, was a musician, but he's amazing. So cool. And it was easy going. It was him and another girl and me. And we just went out and this was the first time I was in control of my video. You know, it's like, okay, I want to do this. I said, I didn't want a makeup artist. I didn't want a hairstylist. I didn't want anyone to dress me. I did it all myself. And I'm so happy. I was like, just give me a couple $100, put it on my statement. I'll get what I need and I'm good to go.
So, I love this. Yeah. And tell me about, what was the one I was just watching? Like one of your videos, what the heck was it called? It was what, Nervous Breakdown or what was it?
Nervous Breakdown. So I actually didn't write that song. I wish I did.
It's okay.
Casey Musgraves wrote it though. So, I mean, and other number one artists. But when I found that song, I was like, this is very fitting for, you know, me and a lot of other people that are feeling like they're having a damn nervous breakdown, because I did. But we need those nervous breakdowns to get to now, because, you know, I don't think if I didn't have it, and even with that song, if I didn't literally have a nervous breakdown and have that song, we probably wouldn't be doing this right now, because I'd be like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I want to do. So I needed that to get
it. I get it. What is your favorite? That sounded like an asshole. I get it. Cut her off, asshole. Oh, no, I was thinking, because sometimes I'm just a thing. Oh my God. I didn't mean to be a bitch. What are some of the favorite moments of your career? Like a highlight, like you mentioned American Idol, like are some other things that come to mind where you're just like, I'm glad that I did that, or I'm glad that that happened. And then what are some that weren't so great? Like, just let's cover that a little bit, and then we'll end on where people can follow you and how we can support you.
Perfect. I think the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about one of my favorite, I guess it's not, it's one of my favorite performances I've ever had the opportunity to play in my life. And it was in Pueblo, Colorado. It was a festival called Bands in the Backyard.
Nice.
And I got to open up for Three Doors Down and Kid Rock.
Wow.
It was insane. I mean, it was the biggest stage I've ever been on and one of the biggest crowds I've ever been in front of. And so that was definitely, definitely a high of my career, for sure. And besides that being a high of my career, I just love the traveling aspect of it. Performing and traveling are my two favorite parts of music in general. Like, if I couldn't get on a stage, you know, it's just the fun part. It's where you can let loose and you're not thinking. Everything's just kind of there. And so one of the low points, I guess.
I love the story about Kid Rock and Three Doors Down. And we did, I'm eating turkey right now. I put you on the big screen to give you all the glory. And then Pig found some turkey that he's going to eat.
I'm going to eat after this, some meatballs. So
right? We opened for Three Doors Down, Puddle of Mud and Nickelback years and years and years ago. And for the people who are wrestling supporters watching, that was the time that I got fired, because we had this big show that we were doing and I was looking forward to it. And they asked me to have Abyss give me a black hole slam or some other really big pump. And, you know, I wasn't ready for that. And I just went and asked management, like, what else could I do other than that, so that I'm not completely pulverized and probably paralyzed from this horrible thing I was going to take when I had a pre-existing condition. I had a still have a degenerative disc disease. And I said, you know, we've got this big show that's coming up and I'd like to take a bump that somebody could help walk me through, that I would survive. And like, that turned into Goldie's going to sue the company which is bullshit and a lie. And then I got fired. So when you say three doors down, it's just funny what comes like, that's your biggest moment. And that was, I ended up doing the show. I ended up losing my job over it. But, you know, it's things like that that are, they are really big opportunities in Kid Rock. Like I've been to his shows. Like that's a fat ass audience of some amazing people.
Right. But then, you know, when I have the good experience hearing that, you have the more, you know, negative experience.
Yeah. So then you have an experience right now that you said something that wasn't so hot. And let's see if mine is the same or if I've got something like that. I'm curious.
You know, so much comes to mind because in this industry, as you know, obviously, there are so many highs and so many lows, and the lows are so fucking low.
Yep. You
know? Yep. So fucking low, and that's because the highs are so high. I mean, there's no, I'm getting the chills thinking about it. It's so stupid. Okay. Look at me. I'm all freaking out.
You know what? The chills will stop because once again, I'm eating turkey.
I love it. Get it. Eat all of it.
I suck so bad. This is all I think about is protein. I got to lift. Go ahead. So you're getting chills thinking about something.
Can we start working? Yeah, can you like teach me how to work out?
Oh God.
You like getting healthy?
I'm telling you, I wish that everybody would work out 20 to 30 minutes a day. I've got everybody that I know that is in any arm's reach of me. And you know what? For people that have no time and I get nothing out of this, I'm not even my Amazon affiliate gimmick. But I do, Sarah.
Yeah.
I do these little apps. You see, this one's for your ass and this one's for your butt. This shit's like 10, 15, 20 minutes a day.
And we all have time for it.
No, you do. And it's like, it's some dumb bitch that's a computer, you know, yelling at me to do stuff, but it's really simple and easy. And if for the love of God, if I can at least know that I did 12 minutes of something for my fat ass or my butt a day, like I feel really good. That's my medicine. That's what I take to feel better. So let's find out what was bugging you. What's the worst thing? And I'll keep eating.
All right. I have to figure this out. So the worst thing, again, I would probably say, I think the worst thing for me, honestly, was, and I guess it's not even a specific moment, maybe. It was just kind of feeling, I don't even know how to say it because I'm not one of the, you know, I don't talk about, oh, guys do this and this and that. And we'll get more of this.
Oh, wait. Was it that? Shit. I remember when I met you, though, something was going on. I won't say what, but.
Oh, I remember that now.
That's a long time ago.
Long time ago.
Aren't you glad you're done with that?
Cut that shit out, right?
Go ahead. But anyway, here's another one. Here's another one. Something else happened.
I think that getting into things with the wrong people sometimes. I think trusting the wrong people sometimes. So I can't even find a specific moment technically. It's more so I feel like I gave so much of myself to not get it back. And you just want to, you know.
Whose fault is that though? You know?
And then I realize that now though.
Yeah, I realize that now too. I was just thinking about this piece of shit that I dated and I was like, man, I was just thinking about that before because I dated a lot of pro athletes. I dated a lot of professional wrestlers. And I just remember walking around the Nashville State Fair and I was constantly the one calling him every morning because he'd be out drinking, of course, you know, shocker. And, you know, like you'd wonder, like, are they up at 10? Are they up at 9? And I'm sure like he was like, who is this girl constantly like, God, let me just wake up and shake off the hangover. And she's already left me 5 or 6 messages and texts. And I was so overzealous. And I just was so excited for him to wake up and maybe we could go to lunch and hang out at Shoney's and shit our pants.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's what we love. Sorry, Shoney's, but every time anybody eats at your restaurant, we all have diarrhea. So
in White Castle. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh God, they you want to shit, go to White Castle. I mean, that's just what they're called, sliders. Like true. That would be instant diarrhea. Or projectile vomiting, but still love it. We still go there late night. Why? But I remember like thinking to myself at the state fair, like saying to him, like, well, you know, I was like, I thought we were a couple. And he's like, you're not my girlfriend. I mean, you had the balls to say, like, and I was like, what are you talking about? I was just one of his hoes, one of his average hoes, you know. Mm-hmm. And
average hoes.
And whose fault was that? Like, who, he said it right there. And I chose to, like, see that red flag and think it was going to turn white or disappear or go up my ass or something. And, you know, I wish I could go back in time and when people showed me who they were or realized the signs and just say, what are you doing, girl? Come on. This isn't for you. No. Move along. Yeah. Nothing to see here. But
it sucks sometimes.
And that's life. Yeah. And that's experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And if we didn't have those experiences, I'd probably be making the mistakes now. So, you know, it's like, I'm glad it's done. I'm glad it's over with. And hopefully 2022 will be some good shit.
It has to be. It really does. There's just been enough dippy doo-doos. And
I know.
So you've got this great video that's coming out. Once again, what is the name of it?
It is called Last One. And it should be in about a month. So.
Well, I am very excited to see the video. Very excited to hear the song. And then, of course, does your stuff stream everywhere?
Yes, it will be streaming all. Now you can check out. I have plenty of stuff up online. You can go to
where? Everywhere, just under Sarah Ross.
YouTube, Sarah Ross Music. My Instagram, Sarah Ross Music One. All iTunes, Sarah Ross. All the stuff.
Same. Are you Twitter? Are you Instagram? Are you Facebook? Are you all?
All of them.
Go follow her, you guys. If you're listening to this right now and watching it, go give her a follow. I don't have bitches on the show. This is a good lady. You go check her out and support. Mark your calendars. I will promote when your single comes out, your album. Is it a single or an album? It's a single.
Yes.
Single?
Single, yes.
Okay. And that's super exciting. Yeah. And we want to support that. It's something positive that's coming out. We've had enough crap in the last year or two. Like, let's have things that are empowering and shouting out to the people that are flourishing. And if you're not flourishing, fake it till you make it. Listen to the song and pretend you are. And half the time when you just think about it, you bring about it. So we want to thank our amazingly gorgeous and super cool salt of the earth, down to earth guest, Miss Sarah Ross, for blessing us with her time today. Go follow her, send her good vibes. And always, everyone, we just thank you so much for listening and spending an hour of your time each week on Goldie's Closet, on Vince Russo's brand, on the Realm Network. We just can't thank you enough to all of our patrons and everyone showing up and giving a shit. Appreciate you. Any last closing thoughts before we clap and say goodbye?
I just want to say I'm thankful to know you. It's been a good long year. I hope I see you soon again. I mean, a good long year. It's been a good long 7 years that I haven't probably seen you. So I'm thankful for you, and you're always so joyful anytime I talk to you and see you, and I appreciate you, and I hope I see you soon.
Everybody give another round of applause, you two, for our guest, Miss Sarah Ross.
Closing. Love you. That was great.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Just doing the daily check-ins on Patreon. Wanted to wish you the greatest start to your week. Come on over to Patreon. We're doing a lot of customized love. We just want to make sure everybody's getting the attention that they need and deserve, and that's merited. But we still want to come by on regular social media platforms and say thank you so much for being here, both for me and for the band. Love you, and as always, stay golden.